Good morning. I want to talk this morning about never giving up. I entitled this Never Give Up. It's Paul's account in his second epistle to the church at Corinth. The scholars argue that 1st, 2nd Corinthians is probably 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Corinthians, and others say no, 3rd Corinthians is lost, and I don't care. I just know that there's two epistles that we have, and in the second epistle, Paul finds himself having to defend his ministry. There were Jewish teachers who come into the church trying to teach that they need to be under the law of Moses, and they also brought Paul's apostleship into question. They tried to cast doubt on that and say, you know, Paul's not really an apostle because he didn't follow Jesus till late. And that's one of the devil's favorite tricks is doubt. So they were trying to cast doubt on Paul's apostleship, whether he even had a right to be teaching. And this morning in the text we're looking at, Paul speaks about the frailty of his humanity, the fact of his humanity, but he also talks about the power of Christ that was at work in him and will be at work in any of us who choose to follow Jesus Christ, and especially to teach and preach the gospel in a hostile world. I'd like to have a word of prayer before we look at the text this morning. Father, I thank you for those who could be here this morning, and I ask a special blessing upon them. Be with those who could not be for whatever the reason, Lord. We just ask a blessing upon them also. Father, I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Your word will not return to you empty, but will accomplish what you send it out to do. Father, I pray that we as a church will be emboldened to preach and teach your word as it is in truth, and not try to compromise with the society that we live in. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Paul says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, Paul speaking here, of course, of himself and the other apostles, the missionaries, of the hardships that they had to put up with in their day and age. He had established the church in Corinth. Actually, it was Paul and Barnabas who had established the church and spent 18 months there teaching. Paul was not a fly-by-night missionary or church planter. He didn't just go in and plant a church and leave. Paul stayed. He stayed in Ephesus 2 years. And it said by the time he was done in 2 years, the whole province of Asia Minor had heard the gospel. Paul was training people and sending them out, and they were sharing the gospel. And in the course of 2 years, it said the whole province of Asia Minor had heard it. It didn't say they received it and accepted it, but they had heard the gospel. I always look at Paul as quite the barn burner. That's a term from my time. He was a go-getter. But he wasn't a fly-by-night missionary or preacher. As I said, when he went into a town and he preached and a church was started, Paul remained there and taught them. He invested his time into these churches. He had other men that he had trained who he would send them also into these areas. And so this is a very bad time for Paul. These are people that Paul had trained and raised in Christ. In fact, he referred to himself as their father in Christ. He said, you may have a lot of teachers, but you only got one father, and it's me. Now, they didn't call him Father Paul, I don't think, but Paul said, I begot you into the gospel of Christ. Now, you women that's had children could understand what he's saying. When you have a baby, it ain't just an easy 1, 2, 3 thing and you have a baby. There's a lot of hollering and screaming and some foul language sometimes that goes on when you're in labor. Hey, I know, girls, I've been in the back of the labor rooms. That's some of the foulest language I ever heard in my life. It's making me blush. And I didn't think anything make me blush. But it's work. And Paul said to this church, I labored over you. I've suffered a lot of travail for you. You know what that means? He prayed for them. He anguished for them. So he's very protective of these people. And these teachers, Paul calls them super apostles, came in behind him. And they said, well, wait a minute, Paul didn't tell you all of it. And anyway, maybe you shouldn't really listen to Paul. We're not sure that he's really an apostle. So he's defending his ministry. He doesn't want to, but he finds himself that he needs to. The book of Acts says that certain men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, the church had a meeting about this in Jerusalem. And they sent letters to these Gentile churches through other men. And they said, we did not send them. We did not endorse this message. And we do not endorse it now. You do not have to obey the law of Moses and be circumcised in order to be saved. But yet these Judean false apostles didn't let up. They kept going into these churches. And as I said, Satan, one of his favorite tools is doubt. They thought they were doing right. I'll give them that. I mean, I'm sure they thought they were doing right. But it shows to me they did not understand or truly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. These were supposed to be Jewish Christians, but they were hanging on to legalism, to the law. And Paul found himself once again having to refute the teaching of these men. And at this point, he's defending his ministry. He said, we have this in jars of clay. Speaking of the human body, his human form and frailty, one thing these teachers were saying, well, yeah, Paul's letters are pretty weighty and powerful, deep, but Paul, in his appearance, he's timid. His speech is contemptible. He's not a trained speaker. He's not a great orator. You know, you kind of have to listen to Paul and follow Paul close because maybe he stutters and stammers a little bit. He's not eloquent in speech. He doesn't use big fancy words that you got to have a dictionary next to you to interpret what he says. I've heard some preachers like that, and I've had to have a dictionary there and look up these words. And I'm not saying they're bad words, they're very pinpoint, but Paul didn't preach like that. He told the church at Corinth, I determined to know nothing among you except the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, I didn't come to be eloquent. I didn't come to preach big speeches. He said, I came to preach the truth of the gospel. And now he finds that he has to defend it. So Paul is getting ready to do a little boasting that he doesn't like to do. But he says, I find it necessary that I do this because you're putting up with these other guys doing this. He says, whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast about the things that show my weaknesses. Yeah. So here, I know that seems rather lengthy, but here Paul's saying, yeah, I'm a man just like you. I'm a human being just like you. I know what it's like to feel weak. I know what it's like to feel desperate. I know what it's like to feel confused. We're going to get into that here in just a minute. But Paul said, they want to brag on what they've done for Christ, and he gives this long list. He'd been scourged 5 times, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned once, shipwrecked, adrift at sea. Paul doesn't want to do this, but he said, okay, if you want somebody to brag, let me brag to you a little bit about these things that I've done for Jesus Christ. And what I see in that, he's saying, and you doubt whether I'm sincere? You doubt whether I'm an apostle bringing you the truth? Nobody's going to go through all that for lies, I don't think. I remember when this terrorist trouble arose in Israel back in Desert Storm, and they were talking to an Israeli intelligence officer, and they had captured some insurgents, terrorists, and they were going to interrogate them, and somebody said, what makes you think they're going to cooperate? And the guy smiled and said, because very few people are willing to die for what they believe, including these guys. He said, when we're done talking with them, we'll find out what's going on. And they did. And I believe it's the same way for the church today. Very few people would be willing to die unless they're convinced of the truth of what they're teaching and speaking. Okay? So that's Paul's point to people. Look, I didn't want to brag, but here it is. And you think I'm not sincere? You think that I'm not an apostle? Paul said, yeah, I'm an apostle. As I said, he went on to say later, I'm your father in Christ. I begot you. I'm the one that travailed and worked over you until you came to Jesus Christ. And then I didn't just blow out of town. I was there for 18 months teaching you. In one place, he said, I was with you in fear and in trembling. Why? Because the church was being persecuted. You got to understand something, church. These Christians went into areas that worshiped all these false gods, and they said, no, there's only one God and only one way to him, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know what the early church was called in the first century? It wasn't called the Christian church. It was called the Church of the Way. In fact, it was called the sect of the way, because these ragtag Christians were going around saying there's only one God and only one way. And they suffered terribly because of that. And now Paul is suffering in a sense that they're trying to make these people doubt his sincerity and if he's really teaching them the truth. Now, the church has suffered some. So what might the temptation be for them? Let's back up a little bit. It's getting kind of hairy. These people don't like us. They said we're intolerant and bigoted. Man, I can't even walk down the street anymore. People making fun of me. There goes that Jesus freak. Woo! No, they didn't capitulate. That's a big word. It means they didn't give in to the whims of the society they lived in. Capitulation. You just learned a big word today. Go home and use it. They didn't capitulate. They didn't give in. They said, well, no, this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you're going to kill me or beat me or put me in prison, go ahead, because I'm not changing. That's where the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be today. I know I harp on this, and I'm going to harp on it till the church gets it. We cannot afford to compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ, because then we're preaching a false gospel and making false converts. We're telling people that they're heaven bound when they'll bust hell wide open when they die because we didn't preach the truth. Jesus commanded that repentance be preached in his name. Repentance of what? No, don't worry about it, man. You're just born that way. It's not a sin. If it's all right with you, it's all right. Don't you know God's a God of love? He just sits there in heaven and just wants to love you. He looks at you and goes, bless their hearts. I just love them so much. That's not the God I serve. The God I serve says, this is sin, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is evil, and you come around to my way of looking at things or you won't be saved. That's the message of the gospel. Well, you don't have to be so nasty about it. You sound like you're mad all the time. I'm not angry. But I am upset over the harm that's being done to the gospel of Jesus Christ today by false teachers and false preachers and false Christians who want to hide behind the smokescreen of love. It's all about love, brother. God is love. He loves us enough that he warns us. You're going to perish if you continue to live this way. And Paul's come into this area of pagans, and he has preached the gospel, and they believed it, and the church was growing, and then these false teachers come right in behind Paul and try to stop what's going on. Don't you know that's how Satan works? Anton LaVey, in his Satanic Bible, the book of the Satanic Bible, bragged that Satanists had people in just about every church in America. He bragged about that. He said that's why they're there, to try to disrupt what's going on, to try to sidetrack the church. Everywhere Paul preached, there were two things that happened. Almost without exception, there was great revivals, and then there was big riots. Jesus told Ananias, when he told him to lay hands on Paul to give him so his sight would be restored, he said, I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for my name. Paul made a lot of people suffer. And Jesus said, okay, now we're going to put the shoe on your foot. You're going to see how much you're going to suffer. And church, suffering is part of what we're called to. And I know that's not what you hear on TV now. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. That word means anguish. Grief. But he said, be of good cheer. I overcame the world. Do you know that we're called to be overcomers? When you listen to what Paul is saying to this church, he's talking about trouble, bad trouble. We've had a lot of trouble, but he said, we're still here. We're not shutting up. We're not changing the message. We're still going to preach the message that was given to us in spite of what happens. I love this passage, by the way. This has been an encouraging passage to me for many years. In one city, in the book of Acts, Paul preaches and there's a great revival. And then it said these Jews came in. And I'm not against the Jews. Please don't think that. But these Jewish people came in and they caused the people to stone him. And they thought he was dead. And they drug him out of the city. Said the believers were standing around him. Paul got up. He may have been dead and God raised him from the dead. I don't know. But it said Paul stood up and he went back into the city. And he encouraged the people that had believed what he had to say. Then he moved on. Smart thing. You know, he encouraged them. Then he moved on and said he preached in other cities. And then Luke says in the book of Acts, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they believed. How many of you think that when Paul was in Lystra and said, now I need elders, that every man's hand in the place went up? Yeah, I'll try that. You got stoned. And that wasn't in the way that a lot of other people get stoned. You know, they tried to kill you. You know what that tells me about the elders Paul appointed in Lystra and Iconium? They were serious about doing the job. They took the job with all the risk. Church, The gospel of Jesus Christ does not change because God does not change. The truth does not change. Now, am I saying we need to be hateful in our deliverance of it? No. Do we need to be in their face? No. But we need to be honest. I saw a video somebody took on a subway, and this young black man was sharing the gospel, had his Bible open, and there was a man sitting across from him, got up and said, "You're a liar. I'm gay, and Jesus loves me just like this." And that young man said, "No, sir." He said, "This book says that your lifestyle is hateful to God, but he came to save you from that. I'm gay, and Jesus loves me gay, and I'm a Christian. I'm a gay Christian." He said, "No, sir." Well, the guy started shouting him down, and people on the subway started applauding this man. That young man folded his book up and sat down. He gave him the truth. He got shouted down. I think he did the right thing. You know, he just said, "Okay." He didn't say, "Well, you know, the Bible says, but we think God made you that way. You know, science is coming up with things all the time, and we think there might be proof that your DNA is a little different." He didn't do that. And he wasn't disrespectful. He called him sir. He said, "No, sir, you're wrong. You know, you've been deceived. You've been lied to." We want to avoid persecution in the church today. We don't want people talking ugly about us. I told you many times, there was a youth minister, a young man I was talking to, and he said, "Rick, we got to be more like Jesus when we teach and preach." I said, "I agree with you 100%. Nobody ever loved like Jesus," but I said, "they nailed him to a tree." And I said, "Brother, you can't avoid that. If you're talking about being like Jesus and you think it's your concept of Jesus running around, never hurt anybody's feelings, never got on anybody's toes, you got the wrong concept of Jesus Christ. My Jesus infuriated people because he spoke the truth. He didn't back down." That's where the church is called to be. I talked to a Pentecostal missionary back when I was in the Pentecostal church, and he said, "You know, we call this the Great Commission, going to all the world. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." And he said, "We call that the Great Commission." He said, "Brother, I have searched the Bible, and that's the only commission I find for the church. The only commission. Jesus said, make disciples." Well, how do we do that? By sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not an adulterated, watered-down version, but the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The church is going to have courage today. I suggest we do what the church in Acts did when they come under persecution. You remember what they did? It said they prayed and said, "Give us the boldness to keep preaching your word." And the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, that scares the Restoration Church to death. "No, don't talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I ain't going to speak in tongues and flop around. Nobody said you had to." Well, that's what the assembly says. Well, let them speak in tongues and flop around. You don't have to. That's how they think they can manifest the Holy Spirit. The Bible says there's a lot of manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Paul said there's the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy. "Oh yeah, but see, we believe that's all gone." Well, you're wrong. Because the Holy Spirit's still here, and you can't separate him from his gifts. He gives those gifts as he will. You and I don't get to fill out a wish list saying, "Well, God, if you're going to fill me with the Spirit, I don't want tongues now, but I will prophesy. Give me prophecy. That's what I want, and that's all I'll take." Guess what? You're going to do without, sweet pea. Because you're not going to tell God how he's going to use you. Okay? You know he's got a plan for every one of us. But it comes with hardships. It does. Man, this is a downer. That's a bummer. You're supposed to preach feel-good, flowery messages that make me want to get up and put money back there in the box and say, "Praise Jesus, and see you next Sunday." No. My job is to make disciples. And I can't do that if I don't tell you the truth and prepare you for what's out there. We live in a wicked world. Do you know that? I mean wicked. And we live in a wicked country. They call this one nation under God. A lot of the people in America can't even spell God anymore. This country is wicked. It has murdered 60 million innocent children. It calls good evil and evil good. It calls black white and white black. Nothing to do with race. Or it says, well, now there's a lot of gray areas, church. You need to consider the gray areas. There are no gray areas. It's black and white, according to this book. And that's what Paul was in trouble for. He went in and preached the truth, and some of these false teachers come and say, well, you know, Paul, he can be a little bit radical sometimes. We're not that bad. You need to do what we say. Paul called them peddlers of God's word. Preaching for hire. You don't like hard sermons? You pay me this much, you won't hear one hard sermon. Yeah. Paul shared the reality of the evangelists and the missionaries of his day. He said, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. In other words, Paul said, we practice what we preach. We're not going to put a stumbling block in people's way. We're not going to say one thing and do another and cause people to stumble into sin. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. That was the reality of the church in Paul's day. Following Jesus Christ comes at a cost. Personal cost. Paul was very familiar with what it meant to be a Christian in his day. And I'm not saying that all Christians in Paul's day suffered, because they had paper Christians just like we have today. They had people that were Christian only in what they professed, only in what they said, but not in how they lived, not what they were willing to do for Jesus Christ. Now I'm done with the introduction. I'm ready to preach. Okay. No. I'm wrapping it up here. Paul said, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. The Greek word here, to be afflicted, means to be crowded and surrounded. You ever felt closed in? You ever been in situations you just feel completely closed in and pressed in on every side? You almost can't get a breath. I've been there. I think about everybody in this room that's been on this earth very long can say, yeah, I've had times in my life that I was surrounded by trouble, crowded by trouble. It seemed like trouble was all that I had. Well, Paul had been there. And he said, we're not defeated, not crushed. We felt crowded and crushed and closed in, but we weren't crushed. I love that. Paul said, yeah, man, I've been crowded and surrounded by problems, but it didn't stop me. It didn't crush me. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Perplexed, to be at a loss, but not to be utterly at a loss. I felt that way before, at a loss. Somebody could say, why do you think this is happening? I don't know. I can question God, question myself, why is God allowing this to go on in my life? And I can say, I don't know. But you know what I do know? He's in control. Yeah, and whatever he allows to go on, he does it for our good. The Bible says that. That in all things he works to the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say, and in all good things, that's what I'd like it to say. In all good things, God only uses good things. The Bible doesn't teach that. So Paul said, you know what? Sometimes I'm downright confused about the things going on in my life. But he said, I'm not utterly at lost. That's when despair, that's what despair is. You give up. I quit. I give up. I have felt like saying that many times over the years. I'm done. As that guy said, an old brother, where art thou? This just don't make no sense. You ever feel like that? But you know what? We sang, I know who holds tomorrow. That's our God. It makes sense to him. He says, I got this, kid. You just hang on. That's what we call faith, by the way. That's walking by faith. I don't understand this, but I know you do. I don't have a plan, but you got a plan. Yeah. I don't know how this is going to end, but you know how it's going to end. David said to the Lord, you have my days numbered in the book before I was ever born. That is so cool to me that God knows each one of us so intimately that David said he has a book and our name's in it and everything about us is in there, including the end. God says, I know everything from A to Z about you and I love you anyway. That's probably what he feels about me anyway. Yeah, he's a knothead, but he's my son. I love him. I am about done. I'm not lying to you. Paul said we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted means to be chased after, to pursue. So this isn't a light persecution. It's like everywhere they went, they were chased by the opposition. Not everybody's going to receive the gospel. Not everybody's going to believe the gospel. Those who do are going to love you for telling them the truth. Those who do not are going to hate your guts, and they will malign you and persecute you any way they can. You know what Jesus said? You remember what he said in Matthew chapter 5? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. That doesn't mean when somebody's beating you down that you go, oh, I thank you for getting beat down, God. It just means that you rejoice because you know you're on the right track. I must be doing something right. The world's mad at me. The unbelievers hate my guts. Ha ha, I'm doing something right. That's the way we got to look at it, church. If we don't, we cave in and we become complacent and we make concessions because we're trying to spare our feelings and we don't want people not liking us. Good night. How can we ever share the gospel? Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. That's cut and dried to me. Paul said, we're struck down. I'm sorry, let me finish. Persecuted, but not forsaken. The Greek means not deserted. Not left behind. You feel alone sometimes when you're persecuted, when you're misunderstood. But you know what Paul said? You're not alone. He said to one group, at my first defense, nobody came to my aid. But I wasn't alone. He said, I hope God will forgive these men for this. These men that should have stood with him, but they didn't. But Paul said, I wasn't alone. Now, we walk by faith, remember, not by sight, not by feelings. Oh my gosh, I hear that abuse. I just felt the Holy Ghost. I didn't feel the Holy Ghost. He must not be here today. I felt joy. I felt sad today. God must not be with me today. Feelings are fickle, church. You cannot go by feelings, okay? Yeah. So Paul said, I'm persecuted. I'm hounded, I'm chased down, but he said, I'm never deserted. Jesus doesn't leave me alone. The last one, he said, I'm struck down but not destroyed. Struck down was an interesting term to me in the Greek. It's a wrestling term. They had Olympics, and you know, they liked the Olympics and the wrestling. And we might say today, I've been body slammed. You know, wrestlers pick guys up and slam them down on the ground and knock the breath out of them. And Paul said, man, I've been thrown down hard. But he said, not destroyed. It didn't have the effect they thought it would. You know how they shut Paul up? They cut his head off. That's a pretty good way to stop somebody from talking. They put that guy in prison. They beat him. They'd done all the things in human power to shut that man up, to make him quit preaching the gospel or change, you know. And they finally had to cut his head off. That was the only way they could shut him up. God, I pray that you will raise men up in the church today who will have a backbone of steel, who will speak the truth and not fear the consequences of speaking the truth, even if it means loss of life. And Lord, I pray I'll be one of them. Yeah. The Church of Jesus Christ today is called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't change. Paul points out to us that when anyone chooses to teach and preach the truth, they will suffer for it. But he also assures us through his own experiences, we will not suffer alone and we won't be defeated. Praise God. That's what I get out of this message. That's why I really like this passage. Because Paul starts out saying, yeah, we have all this power that you see in a human, frail human body. But he said, the power is Jesus Christ, not ours. So don't go on your own power. I remember many times in boot camp, when I went to Army boot camp, I thought, I don't have another step in me. And them old mean drill sergeants be up there screaming in your face, move! Don't you lay down and quit on me. One punched me in the mouth one time. Yeah, they weren't very nice people. I was doing setups, and I was shaking trying to do the last one. I was in trouble because I'd shot my mouth off, so that's probably why I got punched in the mouth. But I remember that. He goes, bam! Knocked me flat on my back, and he said, get up! And he grabbed the front of my shirt, and he said, don't you quit on me. And he jerked me up. So he helped me do the last setup, but he split my lip. And but I think of that in life. Many times, I hear that mean old drill sergeant's voice in my ear saying, don't you dare give up. Don't quit. You take one more step. That's what Paul's saying to the church. Yeah, you're going to suffer, but you keep doing what God's called you to do. Someday this will all be over, church. This persecution, all this wickedness that we have to live in, it'll all be done. And if you're ready, if you have called on the name of the Lord and you have accepted Jesus Christ and you're following him, it'll be worth all the trouble in the end. The Bible says that. I believe that. Do you? Amen. I want to encourage you today that when we suffer as Christians, it's all part of the plan and we're not going to suffer by ourselves. And it's the power of Christ that gets us through these things. So don't rely on your own power. Call out to God and say, God, you're going to have to help me get through this. And he will do it. I can testify to that personally. He will do it. He'll say, I got you. You just get a hold of my hand. I'll get you through this. Would you stand with me this morning? What a God we serve. He has left us in enemy territory. Don was reading out of John 17 this morning. And one thing Jesus said, I don't ask you to take him out of the world, but protect him from the evil one. We're in enemy territory. We got to expect resistance and persecution. But Jesus said, someday I'm going to come back and get you. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. And he promises us we won't be in this alone. He said, I'll never leave you till the end of the age. That's what he told that ragtag group he sent out. And I think that's still the message for the church today. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll be right there with you.